From the Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Trenton, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with your host, Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, discussion, and reflection on issues important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it is a great joy to be here with you. As the Lord allows us, this time every Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. for Come to Me, and then on Fridays when Gabriella and I bring you TGI Friday Live, I'm praying you're having a blessed, happy, and holy June 21st, first day of summer 2017. So I hope you're enjoying it. Feels like summer outside, and can't believe it's already middle of June, but here we are. And today, of course, being Wednesday, what I've been doing the past couple of Wednesdays, and I will continue. I'm going to go back to the Second Vatican Council document on the Church's missionary activity in the world from December 1965. You know, we are called to be missionaries, and every one of us, we're all called to be missionaries. Jesus gave us the great exhortation to every single one of us, not just those who were there as he ascended into heaven, but to all of us down through the ages, by virtue of our baptism, to go out into the world and spread the good news. That's what we're here for. So we'll talk about that. Also, the Holy Father gave a lovely teaching this morning in Rome at his general audience on holiness. Holiness, which is... And he said, if you don't think holiness is for you, and a lot of people think I can't be like that, he said, well, go to the saints. They can help you as examples. So we'll hear what the Holy Father has to teach this morning from his general audience. Before we do that, though, my friends, we're going to pray. And as always, I invite you to join me and all of our family members from across our very wide listening areas here in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and beyond to pray with and for each other, for all of your intentions, for the intentions you have in your heart right now, for all of our listeners, all of our benefactors, and all those who need prayer. And we pray first for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and we keep praying for him. And we pray also for families. So let's begin, as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who in your providential design willed that your church be built upon Blessed Peter, whom you set over the other apostles, look with favor, we pray, on Francis our Pope, and grant that he, whom you've made Peter's successor, may be for your people a visible source and foundation of unity in faith and of communion. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll pray for families, my friends, and family, as you know, as the Church teaches, basic cell of society, under horrible attack, and we have to pray for the protection of good, holy families, and we have to pray for the building up of good, holy families. Oh, dear Jesus, I humbly implore you to grant your special graces to our family. May our home be the shrine of peace, purity, love, labor, and faith. I beg you, dear Jesus, to protect and bless all of us, absent and present, living and dead. Oh, Mary, loving mother of Jesus and our mother, pray to Jesus for our family, for all the families of the world, to guard the cradle of the newborn, the schools of the young, and their vocations. Blessed Saint Joseph, holy guardian of Jesus and Mary, assist us by your prayers in all necessities of life. Ask of Jesus that special grace which he granted to you, to watch over our home at the pillow of the sick and the dying, so that with Mary and with you, heaven may find our family unbroken in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. St. John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my friends, I thank you, as always, for taking time out of your day, out of the busyness of your day, to be here with me. And whether you're listening live at 4 o'clock, and as a matter of fact, if you are listening live at 4 o'clock, you can also watch live on Facebook, facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia. facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia. And you can kind of peek into the studio here and see where I am, where we bring you these programs from our main studio here at the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization. And if you're listening to the repeat broadcast, 10 o'clock, or the podcasts, or streaming audio, mobile apps, you know, again, we have people listening and watching all over the world, which is great because, as I said earlier, we are all called to be missionary. We're all called to be proclaimers of the word, to bring Christ out into the world. And I, before we get to the Holy Father's teaching this morning, I just really want to talk a little bit about unity in our church. You know, we have to be sure that we're not doing the devil's work for him by being disunified, by backbiting, by attacking, by tearing down. There's probably not a faithful Catholic around who doesn't want the same thing that any other faithful Catholic wants, to bring Jesus into the world. We may have different ideas of how to do that, different thoughts of proper ways to do that, but we all want the same thing. We all want everybody to know Jesus. That's the exhortation that our Lord gave us before he ascended into heaven. He promised us he's with us always, and he's with every one of us, whether you are extreme right in your thoughts and practices, or extreme left in your thoughts and practices. If you're trying to remain faithful to Jesus with all sincerity and with your whole heart, mind, and soul, Jesus is with us. He's with everyone. And we have to do all this, my friends, in truth. It's got to be in truth. It's got to be based on that one truth, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that he founded this church, this one holy Catholic apostolic church, upon the rock of St. Peter. And I think that, you know, we know the world is in just a horrendous state of anger, division, dissension, dishonesty, lack of ethics and morals. I mean, we just see that. And sometimes we see that, I see it anyway. This is my own, by the way, this is my own personal opinion. I see that bleeding into the attitude of even people in the church, myself included. I'm not exempting myself from that. We're all guilty. By our fallen nature, we all fall prey to these types of things. But I've been saying a lot lately here at the Apostolate to many people. When we look at, if someone, you know, what is our role here at Domestic Church Media? What are we called to do? Through the gifts that God gives us, through the opportunities that God gives us in our broadcasting and our podcasting and our any form of media we use, is to build up the kingdom, to build up the kingdom, to spread the good word, to bring the gospel out, to share the joy of the gospel with as many people as possible, to open their hearts and their minds to Christ. Bottom line. And I've talked and dealt with many people in the course of my work over the many years. Some with whom I've not agreed on certain methods and ways of doing things. Some with whom I've disagreed on what's happening inside and outside the church. But we have to act in love, and we have to act in unity. We can't do Satan's work for him. You know, Satan is the great divider. He loves division. One of his most powerful tactics is to divide and conquer. And so we have to really, at times, and again, I'm not exempting myself from this, I'm including myself in this, take a step back, look at everything the way it is, where we are, what we're saying, how we're doing it, what we're talking about, how we're applying it, and is it the most effective means of and way of doing things that will open other people's hearts and minds to the love of Jesus? That's what it's all about. That's what it comes down to. You know, so I just think we have to really focus on being unified in that truth, that we all know and love Jesus Christ, and we want everybody else to as well. And we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. We're of a fallen nature. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to err. We're all going to sin. Every single one of us. There's not a person on this planet who doesn't fall into that category. And as we'll hear the Holy Father talk about a little later on, in just a few moments, about the universal call to holiness, the recognition is that we are all of the same fallen nature from the Pope down. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. But we have to recognize in each other that we are made in God's own image and likeness. And as a baptized Catholic, we have that innate desire to bring Christ out into the world as he exhorted us before he ascended into heaven. I guess I've just been lately been disturbed by division, not just within the church, but just division in the world, the anger, the hatred. And when I see it seep into the church, and I've been, you know, I've been doing work in and for the church for many years, you know, both in the radio apostolate for over 20 years. I was involved in my parish council 25 years ago. We did music. I did help Cheryl with the music ministry at the parish. And I know there's a lot of personalities, but we're all different. We're all, you know, different personality types and characteristics. But the bottom line is we're all made in God's image and likeness. And if we are faithful to our baptismal call, we want everyone to know Christ. Bottom line. So let's be unified in that and let's build that up. Let's build that up. Let's be builders and of the kingdom here on earth in charity and love and truth in any way we can. Earlier this morning, our Holy Father gave his weekly general audience, and he said the saints show us that despite what we might think, holiness is possible for everyone. And we should call on them for help in living out our vocations. This is good. I'm looking forward to this because, you know, a lot of times we see, read about, hear about, talk about, study the lives of the great saints, you know, from our Blessed Mother down to St. Joseph to the top 10, you know, down through the ages, St. Anthony, St. Francis, you know, Catherine of Siena, all the biggies, you know, and all those who followed, thinking, oh, I don't know if I could ever be like that, but we can. We're called to be like that. We're called to be saints. And Holy Father says, if we think it's not possible, go to the saints for help. He said, some of us may be tempted to question if it's really possible to be holy in everyday life. Holy Father said, but yes, you can. And it doesn't mean that you have to pray all day long. You know, you see these pictures of with hands folded and halos on our heads. No, no, he said, it means you have to do your duty all day long. Pray. Of course, notice he starts with prayer. Pray, go to work, watch over the children. But everything must be done with a heart open to God in a way that the work, even in illness and in suffering, also in difficulty, is open to God. And so you can become saints. You can, he said. Now he's encouraging. encouraging holiness, encouraging for all of us to work on our own sanctification. We can become saints. But he's saying you can do that in your everyday life, how we live our lives, how in the things we do. I remember when our kids were little once, you remember that song, that hymn we'd sing at Mass? I don't know if they sing it anymore. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. Remember that song taken from Christ's words? And I remember one time I was changing one of the baby's diapers. And, you know, not always a pleasant experience when you change a baby's diaper. And I remember, like, I was on the floor changing a diaper thinking of those lyrics. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers. Okay, Jesus, I'm changing your diaper. I'm taking care of you. I'm caring for you. You know, and no matter whatever we do, the simple little things we do in our everyday lives, the little flower would say that, the little way, you know, the things that we can do to become saints. And Holy Father said, again, this morning, he emphasized it. And I'm reading from his text where there's an exclamation point. You can be a saint, he said. May the Lord give us the hope of being holy. But we can. We do not think it's difficult, a difficult thing, that it's easier to be scoundrels than saints. No, it's possible to be holy because the Lord helps us. It is He who helps us. I love this encouragement by the Holy Father, Pope Francis, encouraging us all to become saints. He said, again, this is this morning's weekly general audience. He spoke about the hope brought by the communion of saints and how we can call on them as a church in the liturgy and in our lives to help us become saints ourselves. For example, he said, we call on them in the liturgy for the sacrament of matrimony, especially for the grace to fulfill marital duties. And this invocation is a source of trust for the two young people who start off on the journey of marital life. Those who really love have the desire and courage to say, forever, forever. But they know that they need the grace of God and the help of the saints to be able to live in the marriage forever. And anybody who's married, you know that. We're going to have someone on the Friday program, I believe tomorrow, who ministers to divorced Catholics. You know, divorce among Catholics is the same percentage as it is among non-Catholics. But when you're Catholic and divorced, then you get into a situation that can become very problematic, obviously, because of human nature, human feelings, human desire, human relationships that then don't always have to, and shouldn't, but can have an adverse effect on the sacramental life of the individual. You know, and Holy Father said, here he's pointing out, when a young couple gets married, to go to the saints, to count on the saints for help, and to have the courage when you get married to say, this is forever. This is for life. That's it. Unless the Lord takes one of us away, we're in this relationship, this marriage, this bond, until one of us dies. That's an enormous commitment. Unfortunately, today, which some people can't find it the courage to enter into, but it takes enormous courage, Holy Father said. He said, not like some say, as long as love lasts. No, he said, marriage is forever. Otherwise, it's better not to marry you. Either forgive or nothing, he said. He explained how we also call on the saints in the Mass of ordination. Candidates for the priesthood lie on the floor, their faces against the ground, while the assembly, led by the bishop, invoke the intercession of the saints. Holy Father said, a man would be crushed under the weight of the mission entrusted to him in the priesthood, but feeling that all heaven is behind him, that the grace of God will not fail because Jesus remains faithful, then he can go serene and refreshed. We are not alone. And, you know, this isn't the first time the Holy Father has kind of cross-referenced in a teaching the married life and the priesthood. As a result of the Synod of Bishops on the Synod on the Family back a couple years ago, one of the things the Holy Father stressed and has since stressed is the need for more effective marriage preparation in the church. And the point he made was we prepare a young man or a man for 8 years before he makes that final vow and he's ordained a priest. He has 8 years to work up to that point in preparation. Whereas an engaged couple, the church gives them a weekend or a few pre-Canaanites, and then that's it. And Holy Father said, and I totally agree with him, we need to do much more in preparing the couple for marriage so they better understand what it is. But Holy Father said, in both those situations, go to the saints for help. He said, because we have the example of the saints, we have hope that it's possible to live a holy life. Pope Francis said, Christianity cultivates an ingrained trust. It does not believe that negative and disgusting forces can prevail. The last word on man's history is not hatred, it's not death, it's not war. The existence of the saints tell us, first of all, that the Christian life is not an unreachable ideal. Thus, we are comforted knowing that we are not alone, he said, knowing that the church is made of innumerable brothers, often anonymous, who have preceded us, who through the action of the Holy Spirit are involved in the affairs of those who still live here. We call on the saints in Mass, Pope Francis said. But we must also have the courage to call on them ourselves in difficult moments, thinking of all those who have gone through trials before us, yet have persevered in sanctity. It's always a great idea, you know, especially for this time of year. A lot of times moms and dads are looking for projects for their kids out of school now. You know, have a couple of months off and thinking for something to use wisely the time that they have in the summer. And this is for any of us, really, if we have time, and we should make time for this. It's to really investigate and study the lives of the saints. Make a saint or two your special friend. Learn about that saint. Invoke that saint's assistance. You know, find a saint who's like you, who experienced certain and similar situations, and who's the patron of whatever occupation you have or vocation you have. And there's a reason why that saint is the patron of that particular cause, because he or she had to endure something or has been embraced by a certain group of people in that particular vocation. But Holy Father is saying, go to them, because we all can be saints. We all can. We're all called to be saints. Look, if we believe, as we should, that God created us to know him, love him, and serve him in this life, why? So that we can be happy with him forever in the next. That means that when we eventually make it to heaven, we may not be in the official list, the canon of saints in the church, the list of saints in the church, but once we get to heaven, we are saints. We're all called to be saints. We were created to be saints because we were created to be with God for all eternity. And so Holy Father says that we should have the courage to call on these saints in difficult moments, to think of those who have gone through trials in the past, who are now in the official canon of saints. Holy Father said, God never abandons us, often helping us through human hands and hearts. I got to tell you, I think we all can identify with, or I should say, we all can identify people in our lives who have done exactly what the Holy Father just referred to. Because God, in not abandoning us, often will help us through the hands and hearts of people he's put in our lives. People who lend an ear or a shoulder or wise words or consoling and comforting words or direction or guidance. God working through those souls in our lives. They're not hidden. They're right here in our midst. The Holy Father said this is difficult to understand and also to imagine, but the saints are always present in our life. When anyone invokes the saints, they are near to us. We must remember, though, Holy Father said, that we are weak. The mystery of grace that is present in our lives, in the lives of Christians, is powerful. We are dust that aspires to heaven. How about that? We are dust that aspires to heaven. We are faithful to this earth, which Jesus loved at every moment of his life, but we know and want to hope for the transfiguration of the world. In its final fulfillment, there will finally be no more tears, malice, and suffering. You know, I don't know if it's just the time of year, my own age, situation, whatever. But my goodness, as I said earlier, you know, you look at the world, you see the hatred, the division, the anger. People are so angry these days. And that should never, ever be allowed to seep its way and work its way into our church. Yes, we're human, and we have faults and failings. But we have the knowledge and the understanding of what awaits us. So all this, and Holy Father is saying this. He's saying, look, though we are faithful to the earth which God has placed us upon and which Jesus loved during his life, we must keep hoping for its transfiguration in the second coming of Christ. You know, we call upon the Lord's coming. I like the old translation, the former translation that we had in the Mass, where we would pray during one of the Eucharistic prayers, I think it's with the doxology. We await the joyful coming, or I'm sorry, we joyfully await your second coming, or you know, we should be joyfully awaiting Christ's second coming to transfigure the world. When there finally, and I love this, and this is scripture, where there will be no more tears, no more malice, no more suffering. Holy Father said, our holiness is the great gift each of us can make to the world. Let the Lord give us the grace of believing so deeply in him that we may become Christ's image for this world. And then he said, and so he's speaking to the crowds in St. Peter's this morning. These are words, I tell you what, these are words that I don't hear passed around a lot. I don't hear people, did you hear what Pope Francis said regarding becoming a saint? We should be proclaiming this. That's why I share these words with you. We got to hear them. He said, our world needs saints. Without these men and women, the world would have no hope. And then he said, you can be holy because the Lord helps us. It is the Lord who helps us. You can be holy. This is a teaching of Pope Francis this morning, just a few hours ago. I hope that as you listen to these words, you go out and share them with other people. Did you hear what the Holy Father said today? He said we're all called to be saints, and we can be saints. Don't ever think you can't be. What great encouragement that is from the Holy Father. What great reiteration of church teaching that is from the Holy Father. I hope, my friends, that you'll take these words. Go to the CatholicNewsAgency.com. That's where I'm reading right off of the news release right here. Read these things. Spread this word. Did you hear what the Holy Father said today? He said, we're all called to be saints. And guess what? Don't ever think you can't be, because you can. Great encouragement from Pope Francis. Okay, stay where you are when I come back. We're going to go to the Second Vatican Council and the Church's missionary activity in the world. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
On the program Mornings with Mother, you never know what the topic will be.
Hey, we're going to talk about free will. It's free because God gave it to us. See? Some people don't know what free means. See, some people think it's free means that I can do what I please.
It's Mornings with Mother, heard right here.
Listen to Mornings with Mother weekdays at 10 a.m., proclaiming the joy of the gospel on Domestic Church Catholic Radio. Did you know that you can still listen to Domestic Church Catholic Radio when you're outside our listening area or away from your radio or computer? Yes, you can, because there's an app for that, and they're absolutely free. That's right. If you have an iPhone or Android mobile device, you can download your free Domestic Church Media app and listen to all of your favorite Catholic radio programs anytime, day or night, no matter where you are. Go to your app store and search for Domestic Church Media. Download it to your mobile device and begin listening to Domestic Church Catholic Radio no matter where you are. It's quick, convenient, easy, and it's free. And if you have other types of mobile smartphones, you can go to TuneIn.com and search for WFJS. That's TuneIn.com and search for WFJS. So never miss your favorite Catholic radio program again, because there's an app for that for your iPhone or Android mobile device. Go to your app store and download the free Domestic Church Media app today.
What have you done for your marriage today?
Today, I used the towel that was already damp after my shower so that he would have the dry one.
I called my wife on the phone and I told her, Sue, I love you, and I meant it.
I went from the lobby of my hotel back to our hotel room 5 times to pick up the video camera.
I took time out at lunch to make sure that we had an opportunity to spend time together.
Then to go back and pick up the battery.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Today?
What do we do?
It's what did you do?
What did I do? I shopped.
Then to go back and pick up our handbag.
What have I done for my marriage today? I flirted with my husband like when we first got married.
I made the bed for my wife because she usually does, and I even put the pillows in the right place.
Then to go back and look for something she'd forgotten that wasn't in the room either, and I did it with a smile.
What have you done for your marriage today? Try something new to make yours great. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We develop the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding us with love and truth. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
From Moorestown to Manilocan,
Bedminster to Brick,
Freehold to Fort Dix,
Ringo's to Roosevelt,
from Old Bridge to Oceanport,
Red Bank to Rocky Hill,
proclaiming the joy of the gospel on Domestic Church Catholic Radio.
Okay, thanks for being here again on this first day of summer, 2017, June 21st. Happy you are here. In just a moment, I'm going to go to the Second Vatican Council document on the missionary activity of the church from December 1965. We're going to talk about Christian witness. Okay. But before we do that, I'll let you know about a few things that are going on here. Coming up on Monday, June 26th, at St. Anthony's Parish in Hamilton, that's 626 South Olden Avenue, there's going to be the International Centennial Pilgrim Image of Our Lady of Fatima. celebrating the 100th anniversary of the apparition of Our Lady, the international centennial pilgrim image of Our Lady of Fatima, which has been blessed by our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is going to be at the Church of St. Anthony. That's this coming Monday, the 26th of June, beginning at 7 p.m. with the welcoming procession and the crowning of the image, followed by Holy Mass at 7:15, and then there'll be an act of consecration and an investiture in the brown scapular, praying the Holy Rosary, and you'll have also time for personal veneration of the image. So that all happens this coming Monday, June 26th, 7 p.m., St. Anthony's Parish, 626 South Olden Avenue in Hamilton. That's the International Centennial Pilgrim Image of Our Lady of Fatima. And they're going to have Holy Mass, praying of the Rosary, investiture of the brown scapular, a procession, and you'll also have time to venerate the image yourself. So, again, it's this coming Monday, June 26th, 7 to 9 p.m., St. Anthony's in Hamilton, 626 South Olden Avenue. Also next week, the 28th, that's next Wednesday, a week from today, there's going to be a young adult holy hour, and it's going to be at St. Joseph's Church in Millstone, New Jersey, 91 Stillhouse Road. And you're invited to go to this holy hour hosted by the Young Adults in Faith. Everybody is welcome, but especially those in their 20s and 30s looking to grow closer to God and to meet friends who share the Catholic faith. There'll be adoration, of course, some praise and worship, and an opportunity to go to confession. So that's next Wednesday, June 28th, a week from today, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Joseph's Parish, 91 Stillhouse Road in Millstone, New Jersey. And let's see, anything else next week? No. Oh, next week, I'm on vacation. Cheryl and I are going to get away with the kids, our family, all together for a week. So I won't be here, but I'll be doing repeat programs while I'm gone. So just keep us in prayer that we have a nice weather together. But no matter what the weather, it'll be fun to, because our youngest son, Anthony, and his wife are coming in from Michigan. We haven't seen them for 6 months. And, you know, when you have family members that live out of state, and in this case, about 1,000 miles away, you don't see them that often. So it's nice. We're all going to be together with the baby and everything else. It'll be fun. So I won't be here, but I will put repeats on in this time slot. Be back again, God willing, on July 3rd. So if you have, by the way, if you have an event also you want us to announce here on the bulletin board, you can go to domesticchurchmedia.org, click on the bulletin board link, and there's an ad and event opportunity on that page. It's free. We don't charge for it. I can't promise you we'll actually make an announcement over the air about it, but it certainly will be posted on the bulletin board. So go to domesticchurchmedia.org and click on the bulletin board link. Okay, let's go to the Second Vatican Council. And this, again, is a document that the Vatican Council Fathers gave us in December of 1965. And it's on the missionary activity of the Church. And for the past couple of weeks, we were doing kind of like the prelude, I guess, the first chapter, I should say. This chapter talks about missionary work. Now, the reason I'm sharing these with you, because, you know, I think it's so important that we familiarize ourselves with church documents. Now, the documents from the Second Vatican Council, in fact, the council itself, has often been misunderstood, misinterpreted, misquoted, misapplied. So it's always important to get to the heart of the document, no matter what it is, whether it's this or a papal encyclical. We have to read it. We have to really see what's in it and not just say, well, so-and-so said this is in it, or this is what it meant, or this is what, you know, the Council Fathers meant when they wrote it. You know, we saw a lot of silliness after the Second Vatican Council, didn't we? Because people misunderstood what the fathers were saying, or misapplied. So it's important for me to share this with you. This is chapter 2 of the document on the church's missionary activity in the world from December 1965. And the decree is Ad Gentes Divinitus. Ad Gentes Divinitus, decree on the church's missionary activity, chapter 2, missionary work. Now listen carefully, because, I mean, this is, first of all, is nothing new. It's just a reiteration of what the church always taught. The church, which has been sent by Christ to reveal and communicate the love of God to all men and to all people, is aware that for her, a tremendous missionary work still remains to be done. Okay, so this is 1965. But listen to that. Listen to the richness of this truth. The church, which has been sent by Christ himself to reveal and communicate the love of God to all men and to all peoples. Listen to that carefully, because that's evangelization. That's mission. To reveal and communicate the love of God to all men and to all peoples. The church wasn't sent by Christ to tell people what they can't do. Right? It wasn't sent by Christ to tell people they're going to go to hell. The church has to teach and reveal the reality and the existence of a state of being that we call hell, and that people may go there if they so choose. But initially, overall picture, the overall revelation of the church's missionary activity, of all of us as members of this church being sent by Christ himself. You were sent by Christ himself. I was sent by Christ himself at our baptism to go. Forward moving, go. Reveal and communicate the love of God to all men and to all peoples. God loves you. And the Father said, and the church is aware, that her tremendous missionary work still remains to be done. Now, this is 1965. It says there are 2 billion people, and their number is increasing day by day, who have never or barely heard the gospel message. They constitute large and distinct groups united by enduring cultural ties, ancient religious traditions, and strong social relationships. Of these, some belong to one or other of the great religions. Others have no knowledge of God, while others expressly deny the existence of God and sometimes even attack it. If the church is to be in a position to offer all men the mystery of salvation and the life brought by God, then it must implant itself among all these groups in the same way that Christ, by his incarnation, committed himself to the particular social and cultural circumstances of the men among who he lived. Listen to that. Listen to that. This is 1965, where the Council Fathers recognized, number one, there are 2 billion at that time people, and their number is ever increasing day by day, who had, and it applies today, there just are more people, who have never or barely heard the gospel message. Why? You know, I don't even know why I do what I do here, because it was never my intention to do this. I can go back, and again, I say this, trust me, in humility. This is not in any way trying to say that, see what I've done, or any of us have done here now. We've grown so much. But I know, as I go back over the course of my progression in life, you know, I started having inklings of a desire to do this probably 25 years ago when it first began. And I can identify times, turning points, you know, where decisions had to be made, risks had to be taken, action was required. But I know why now. I mean, I know why those things were happening as they did when they did, because the Lord was gently leading me, guiding me, directing me. And not just me, others, because as I said, it's not just, this isn't just about me. We have, my goodness, you know, Cheryl, Gabriella, Amy now works here, and a bunch of wonderful benefactors, supporters, board of directors, people who have made enormous sacrifices. Why? Because we understand that the world has to hear this gospel message. That's the bottom line. And it doesn't make any difference. One of the beauties about Catholic radio is it's not just being listened to by Catholics. We have non-Catholics listening to Catholic radio who want, or searching, want truth. They want that something that's going to turn their lives around. And basically what it is, it's the love of God. And that's what we are called by Christ to communicate. That's the essence of evangelization, to communicate the love of God. That's what it is. And so when the fathers wrote this in 1965, saying there are 2 billion people and an ever-increasing number now to the tune of 7 billion people who have never or barely heard the gospel message, and then they say this, they constitute a large and distinct group united by enduring cultural ties, ancient religious traditions, and strong social relationships. Of these, some belong to one or other of the great religions. It doesn't say just Catholics. Others have no knowledge of God, while others expressly deny the existence of God and sometimes even attack it. And then listen carefully. If the church is to be in a position to offer all men the mystery of salvation and the life brought by God, then it must implant itself among all these groups in the same way that Christ, by his incarnation, committed himself to the particular social and cultural circumstances of the men among whom he lived. So we don't just go to the church and wait for people to come in. It's great if they come in, but they have to be invited in, and there has to be a reason for them to come in. And without any understanding of God or God's love or Jesus Christ, why bother? So we have to go out to them. Jesus said, go out into the whole world. Jesus said, go out. Holy Father was talking about this just a few months ago. We have to keep going forward, going out and reaching out. You know, I mentioned the other day, you know, being the Feast of Corpus Christi. My goodness, Jesus Christ himself really, truly present in that sacrament. And we're celebrating that at Sunday's liturgy this past Sunday. And church I went to, oh, a lovely church, very good pastor. But the church is, you know, mostly empty. Where are the people? And they're not going to come unless they have a reason to come. They're not going to come without perhaps even an invitation to come. They're not going to come without an understanding of why it is they're coming. So we have to, as this first sentence instructs us, because we've been sent by Christ himself. You have been sent, I have been sent, to reveal and communicate the love of God. We live in an age, in a culture, in a society that tries to repress that, that tries to convince us not to do that. Don't talk about your faith in the public square. Nobody wants to hear about God or Jesus. You're going to offend somebody by talking about those things. That's not what Christ said. Christ said, go out into the world. The Council of Fathers 2,000 years later said that Christ has sent us to reveal and communicate the love of God to everybody. I think sometimes, and unfortunately, because of the stigma that many people perceive the church has regarding the do's and especially the don'ts of how to live, they're afraid to go out. Instead of saying, these are the things you cannot do, we have to go out and say, let me tell you about the love of God. Let me tell you how God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to save us. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you what Jesus taught and teaches to this very day and how it applies to us in our everyday living and how this truth and these truths will set you free from the bonds that tie you down and weigh you down in this world. Why are young people committing suicide at a horrific rate? Why are people discarding their unborn children to the tune of 60-some million in the past 40 years? Why are people legalizing assisted suicide and euthanasia? Why are people so distraught and distressed? Why are people so depressed? Why are people so angry? Why is there division? Because we are not revealing and communicating the love of God as well as we should be. Bottom line, and they're not accepting it. They don't know about it. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They only know what they hear through fake news and fake media. We are called to reveal and communicate God's love. Boy, if there was ever a definition of missionary activity or evangelization, that's it in a nutshell. Christ sent each one of us to reveal and communicate the love of God to all people. And then it goes on in the next section. I don't know if I should start this now because we only have a few minutes left. Starting, how do we do that? How do we communicate this love? And I also think it's important to emphasize where the fathers say, the Council of Fathers said, go to where the people are. The church has to implant itself among all these groups. What groups are they? Those who deny the existence of God, those who are of the other great religions or who have no knowledge of God, those who don't know Jesus Christ, those who don't believe in anything. The church still needs to implant itself among these groups in the same way, the fathers write, that Christ did by his incarnation and committed himself to the particular social and cultural circumstances of the men among whom he lived. We have to stop the silly, inane, political correct nonsense about, you know, don't talk about your religion. Nobody wants to hear about it. You're offending people by it. Not proper, not right. Keep it out of the public square. That's nonsense. There's a way to do it. And it's the next section. As I said, I don't want to start this now because we'll do it next week or the week after because I'm on my vacation next week. But it starts with Christian witness. How do we live our lives? I was reading today, this morning, you know, I just like to read the news and different things. And there was one article in more of the, you know, I forget which paper it was, but it was talking about 10 things you can do that really make people not like you. I think I better read through this because there's probably a club out there with this list about me. But if you turn that around, 10 things you can do to be a good Christian witness. It doesn't involve standing on a soapbox in the public square with a catechism in one hand and a Bible in the other. What is most attractive to people, what really draws people in to want to know more about what you believe and who you are, it's how you live. The early church should give us great insight into how to evangelize, how to reveal and communicate the love of God. The first century church, people died for what they believed. People were dying, being killed, being murdered, being martyred, being persecuted, ostracized. Yet, we're told in Scripture, see how they loved. Christian witness, revealing and communicating God's love for all people, comes through our own personal witness, our own personal act of love toward other people. Not by tearing down or ripping apart, but by building up, by, as the old song says, I think it was Bing Crosby sang it, you have to accentuate the positive. And just as I said earlier, no, our Holy Father this morning gave a beautiful teaching on becoming holy and our call to holiness, our call to become saints. A beautiful teaching. There's not one word in that teaching this morning that can be disputed or that could be accused of being ambiguous. It was right on the mark. I wonder how many people will take that and go out and share it with others. I wonder how many people will say, did you hear the wonderful teaching from Pope Francis this morning about becoming a saint? That's great witness. My brothers and sisters, I got to go. Tomorrow's Thursday. I'll be back, God willing, for Catechism Day. And then Gabriella and I will be with you on Friday for Friday Live. But then next week, I'll be on vacation for a week with some repeat broadcasts of past programs. But I'll be here tomorrow, so stay, God willing. So join me then. Stay tuned now for our friend, Father Larry Richards. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and God love you.